say, for there is only one way to touch Him. You just believe when you call on His name. Once again now, oh, touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. For there's only one way to touch Him. You just believe when you call on His name.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. I believe He's still alive. Amen. Amen. And He's alive in His people. Amen. And isn't that something good to sing about? Isn't He good? All the time? Amen. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's sing that song, God is Good, all the time. See? Yeah, I failed to put that in there. Sorry, it is C. I'm sorry.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time.
Just clap your hands.
Oh, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time.
Sing that first verse.
Or if you're walking through the valley, there are shadows all around. Do not fear, He will guide you. He will keep you safe and sound. 'Cause He's promised to never leave you and forsake you. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Our God is good all the time.
Let's sing that second verse. We were sinners.
We were sinners, so unworthy. Yes, for us He chose to die.
Filled us with
His Holy Spirit. Now we can test and testify that His love will never leave us. Mm-hmm. And His word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise is in this heart of mine. God is good all the time, through the darkest night. God is good, our God is good all the time.
Why don't we just clap your hands as they play?
Oh, God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time, through the darkest night. His light will shine. God is good, our God is good all the time.
One more time, sing it unto him now.
Oh, our God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time, through the darkest night. His light will shine. God is good, our God is good, he's so good. God is good all the time.
Amen. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. So we're just going to go ahead and go for the word. You ready for the word? Amen. So let's just have, let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Wade comes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, holy, holy, holy.
Amen. How do we see him? We see him in the word. We see him in each other. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see this place full. Amen. Good time to be alive. Good time to be alive and well. Let me get all this straight. My poor old Bible's about had it. But that's okay. It'll never get old. By way of announcement, Brother Luis will be preaching for us Wednesday night. I guess you already know that, just to make sure that you pray for him. Do you pray for these preachers? Yes. Brother Dale announces, you pray for that person to speak to you. And then they've got to labor a couple of days to get a sermon to speak to you. All right? So we need to pray every time we have ministers come up here and preach, because it's not a man. It's not a man. It's a message. So we had a good youth service last Sunday. Thank you, everyone that stayed. Thank you, Brother Dale, for getting the pizza for us. And we had some good questions and good answers, and I believe it helped you. Thank you for some of you older kids that stayed and helped out, and they kind of sneak in the back and sit down and listen to what's going on. So that's all right. So, but God bless you. Today we're going to, for the umpteenth million time, you ladies need to meet in the middle room after service to figure out what color the flowers are in the flower garden. And who's going to wash the windows? And who's going to clean the rocks in the front yard? We're going to meet for the first time today, though, men, for next weekend. So we need to meet in my Sunday school class. If you're going, it doesn't matter, even if you're going on Friday just to eat, I need to know who's going to be there and who's not. So we're going to meet in my Sunday school class. Brother Richard will be back. He went to see his dad, and June went to see her dad. He's been sick for about 2 weeks, so she's over there being with him for a couple of days. And so just pray for them both. Richard's on his way back now, I'm pretty sure. So where's Anna? Oh, okay. All right. He is on his way back? Okay. I saw the thumbs up. So anyway, Richard's going to be here, so he's got the maps for all the places to fish, because this is kind of a new area. You can also fish in the different places, but we'll talk about that. But ladies, you need to meet in the middle Sunday school class, or there in the kitchen area, again, to figure out what's going on for this weekend coming up. So I hope we all have a wonderful time. There's going to be plenty of food. We're going to be doing our own cooking, so I'm not worried about that, whether the restaurant's open or closed. My restaurant's going to be open. Danny's restaurant's going to be open. Amen? So, and then y'all are going to be coming and eating, too. So we're going to talk about the fishing trip. Also, you brothers that want to come just on Friday to eat, that's fine. Please come. This is a big place. It sleeps 25 people, and it's really easy to get to. Big old front porch on the building, so it's really a nice place. So just remember that. Keep us in your prayers also. Remember July the 4th. Make this announcement again. Please tell youth from other churches if they'd wish to come. But Brother Andrew Glover will be here with it. We'll be doing a youth service at 11 o'clock. And fellowship will be after that. And we'll be serving hot dogs and hamburgers to the people that's coming. Also, I need volunteers to help cook the hot dogs and hamburgers for that Saturday. That'll be July the 4th, all right? And everyone's welcome to come. But if we have a big crowd, well, I'll have to ask some of you older kids to sit downstairs and let the younger kids sit up front, because it is a youth service. And Brother Andrew's really good with the youth. And he's a good brother anyway, good brother in the Lord. So let's turn about, turn your Bibles to back to Corinthians. We're going to finish up with Esther today. I've enjoyed it more this time, I guess, than time before. Somebody mentioned the other day, said, well, you brought out a lot more than you did before. I hope that there's more being brought out every time. My brother Dale's been over about 5 different subjects 20 different times, but you get something new every time. So then, you know what that does? That doesn't make it old. That doesn't make it stale. That doesn't make it mundane. That makes it a revelation. That you go, I didn't see that. So you get that. I believe that's God telling you you're on the right path. If you get something and it helps you in your life and helps you in your spiritual walk, then that's God showing you. Because that gives you that little spiritual boost, just like with a good food or some vitamins or a good drink of water after working for a long period of time. It's just kind of rejuvenates you and makes you stronger. So we want to be stronger Christians, absolutely. Amen. So God bless you. Like I said before, everything's back to normal, but as normal as it can be. So we're still going to hand sanitize, and we're still going to make sure if you're coughing or if you're sick, don't come to church. If you do want to wear masks, like I said, Brother Dale said before, or sit downstairs. There's monitors. Both monitors are on in my Sunday school class and in the middle class or the middle room for you to enjoy the service. And we want you to enjoy the service because, listen, there's not a lot of joy out there. It's just people beating each other, killing each other, shooting each other, and don't know what to do. And it's just not bothered me. It shouldn't bother a Christian. It should tell us that we have now these markers that we, as we spoke years ago about these markers of different dates, we see that. And if you would pray next Sunday, probably if I get finished today, next Sunday we're going to start on the feast days in the Bible, all right? But remember, those are what? Those are, for our example, like we're going to read here, we don't take 2 weeks off or 1 week off for the Feast of Tabernacles. We don't take, you understand what I'm saying? We're not Jewish to that degree. Maybe we should. So, but we've got three coming up pretty quick here in September. So, but anyway, I'm just kidding. But we are spiritually, God gave that feast and every, application of that for me and you. The killing of the animals, the washing of this, the eating of the unleavened bread. Sure, that was something they had to go by. That was works. But see, by grace, we're saved through faith, as Brother Dale's talking about. So we look at these things and we see that there's a spiritual application. And I want you to be praying about this. And remember, this is the importance that I'm going to put on it, is that the feast days were to Israel, there was four in the spring and three in the fall. Everybody got that? Those of you Bible readers, you know that. There was four in the spring and three in the fall. All right, there was Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and the Feast of Pentecost. Then you had a long period of time, and this year on May the 31st was the Feast of Pentecost, and it was on a Sunday. All right, so now we've got now coming up, you've got the Feast of Trumpets, which is September the 19th. What day is that? September 19th, Terrence's birthday, Lord mercy. We'll hear about that, never mind. Day of Atonement, September the 28th, and the Feast of Tabernacles will be October the 2nd through the 9th. So we got those fall feasts coming up. And remember one thing. I want you to mull this around in your head. Jesus fulfilled the first four. He was killed on Passover. He was part of the unleavened bread. He stayed in the grave. He was the first fruits that came up out of the grave. And obviously, he was the big deal on the Feast of Pentecost. Because on that very day, he came back into the people. But now you've got this long period of time that Jesus is not on the earth. But he's in his people. So the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the Feast of Tabernacles, you and I have to fulfill. And Christ does it through us in these fall feasts. That's why I love the fall of the year, being that it is a time of harvest. All right? So God bless you. Let's pray. Just keep those things in your heart. That we're coming up on a time that we're going to go home. Amen. We're getting out of here. Amen. They can have this world. They can have whatever. But you know what? We're going to see just in a minute how that the king gave Esther all of Haman's property. When the devil's destroyed, he's going to give us all the devil's property. You say, oh, yeah. Because remember, he's a squatter. And he's a squatter. But when this thing becomes God on the outside, the devil's been destroyed and we have retook our possession. And he's not a squatter anymore. So this is what we're looking at today. But we're going to start. I'm going to comment on Esther chapter 5 just for a minute. Then we're going to go back to Esther chapter 8. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word, Lord, that you give us. We pray now that you sanctify it, Lord, in the speaking and in the hearing. Lord, that we'll take today, Lord, and ponder these things in our heart as many have done over the centuries of time. They've listened to sermons. They've listened to many things, Lord. But now we've come to the end where we're at a position, Lord, where the sermons are getting smaller and smaller. We're heading toward that end time to where we're going to have a joyous feast and we're going to be able to step over into eternity. And Father, we'll be there, Lord, with you like you've always wanted. But Lord, we've got a journey now that we've got to continue in as Esther did and as the different ones of Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah and Ruth all the way through to having the promised son. Lord, I pray that you just be with us, Lord. Take care of us as a church. Be with our pastor. Bless him, Lord. Keep him strong. Keep us all safe. And be with us, Lord, in the furtherment of this service. Bless, Lord, the missionaries on the foreign fields. We see now there's not many out there because of this virus thing. Lord, there's a lot of people having to do on their own, which is that's the way it should be. Lord, we should get this thing as an individual affair with you, Lord, and then you will speak to us. You promised you would. Father, we pray that you'd bless us now and take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, there's just not a lot of movement going on in the foreign fields because nobody can get over there. But you know what? God knew it. He already sent them some information. He gave them the internet. He gave them live streaming and all these different things. So I'm not worried about the true bride. The true bride will make it through. Amen. I said the true bride. Now remember, because Israel is not all Israel, and every person that came up on the feast of Passover and threw the lamb up on the altar didn't get their sins forgiven because God knew their heart. But now some people did, and I believe they did it humble, and they did it crying and confessing their sins just like you and I. And they got their sins forgiven on the day of Passover when they killed the lamb. So God bless you. Let's just read the last one, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. You may be seated in the Lord at his blessing to the reading of the word. But here in the book of Esther, we see that Esther starts as a nothing little girl, and now Esther's leaving the building. Bad timing. Start talking about them and they walk out the door. She won't be back for a while. She get her face from being so red. But she get up and start talking about Esther and then she gets up and walks out the door. But this little girl started from nothing. And now she's a queen. Now she has a little bit of pull with the king. Why? Because in chapter 5, Esther comes to a place to where Esther knows if she doesn't go into the king, that her people are going to perish. Amen? And listen, as we were talking downstairs this morning, Revelations chapter 1 through 3 shows the bride of Jesus Christ on earth. And anybody, and listen to this, I want you to get this, anyone from that day of Pentecost, on the 50th day after the Passover, on the 50th day there was a feast of Pentecost, and Jesus Christ actually came back into the believers. Now from that point forward, every person, get this, that's why the bride is so important. Jesus is not on the scene, right? Jesus is not physically here. But on the day of Pentecost, he comes into 120 people, bursts them into the body, makes them the bride, and everything after that that's going to make it to heaven, whether it be bride, whether it be foolish virgin, whether it be cup of water in my name, has all got to come from that. Think about that. Revelations 1 through 3 is talking about the bride. Amen. On the earth, her character. Oh yeah, she messes up every once in a while. But everything for 2,000 years since Jesus died and came back on the day of Pentecost, everything has been about the bride. That's how important you are. That's how important. And then the more important is, we're the only ones left alive. Everybody else is in another dimension. There's the first stage, second, third, fourth, fifth. Most of the seventh is already in that sixth dimension waiting on a group of people, not waiting on the denominations, not waiting on the Pope, not waiting on politics, but waiting on me and you. That's how important Esther was. Esther said, if I die, I die. But I'm going into the king because I've got some people. I got some people that are left out here that I need to get in. I need for them to at least be able to defend themselves. Because they had no hope without Esther. Read your Bible. They had no hope. Because Haman had already made his proclamation. The king had already signed it. We're going to see here in just a minute that the king made a decree and couldn't take it back. You know, we're going to see here in just a minute, God made a decree and couldn't take it back. In Genesis 3, he said, because of what you've done, death will take you to the ground. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. In other words, God said, there's nothing I can do about what I said. Because in Genesis 3, all that, when the fall happened, God couldn't go back. He said, the day you eat thereof, that day you die. That's the same way when Haman got the king to write the decree to kill the Jews, which he didn't know who it was in the natural story. They were just going to die. There was going to be a day when this king with this great army, he didn't have like two people. He had like 2 million people in the army all over the country. They were just going to go in and kill all the Jews. Same way with Satan. Don't you think Satan on the day of Pentecost, he's trying to figure out, wait a minute, I got 120 to deal with now, and now I got more to deal with, and now I got more to deal with, and now he's in the end time going, I'll get him. And he's persistent. He's been waiting 2,000 years. He said, I'll get him. And then the Lord's going, hang on a minute. Because I have made a provision. We're going to read it here, but what happens in chapter 5 is, she tells him, she brings Haman in, and Haman, remember we were talking about last Sunday, Haman comes in, and Haman is a pretty slick guy, but whatever Haman did, the king turned it right around. Same way with God. God's going to say, all right, devil, you caused all this. I mean, you're the one that went into the garden, and you're the one that made this, but it didn't mess my plan up. I knew you were going to do that. The day I made you, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you were going to make Eve fall. I knew you were going to do all this. And I knew that death was going to reign for 2,000 years. And God's just hanging on. He's just waiting. But there's somebody got to come up like Esther, because watch here in just a minute when we get into chapter 8. She devises a plan. Because she knows one thing for sure. She's already made the petition. We know one thing's for sure, that there in chapter 7, that at that banquet that Haman was destroyed and hung on his own gallows. Right. He made the gallows. He was going to hang Mordecai on it. Right? And he thought for a moment he was going to be the... Hey, she's back. Now we can talk about her again. She's... Okay, your face is still red. So Haman says, man, I'm going to make my own bride. I'm going to be my own man. I'm going to make God happy. So the king says, who's worthy to wear my crown and wear my jewels and put them on a horse? And he says, oh, wow, the great man that you know, got you out of trouble and all this stuff. And the devil's going, I got you, buddy. You're just nice right where you're at. Aren't you comfortable? But that day that Zach Black got born again, Haman had to put him on the horse and put the crown on his head and the royal jewels on his finger and had to parade him through the crowd. And he didn't like it, did he? So he started again, but we know the devil. He does have an end. But isn't that wonderful, though, how... And listen, everything, like Brother Dale said today, this morning, even your sickness. We don't want to glorify the devil, and God doesn't just throw things on you on purpose. He knows what you need when you need it. Amen? So he puts a little something and he moves you over. You know, there's some things going on in my life, in my body, not my life, but my body, that I'm having to deal with some things. But you know what it's going to do? It's going to make it to where I'm not looking this way anymore. Amen. You know, it's none of your business, whatever it is, but I'm telling you, what does God do to you? Same thing. Amen. You think, oh, I'm good. No, that's not good. Let me go this way. But that's the way it is with God. But you listen, you pay attention to what he's saying to you. Because he's the one, remember, God's no's are the best yes you ever get. Because you ask something, you ask something. Even Brother Branham said, you can press. Right? Brother Branham said, I can press God and get what I want, but it'd be permissive will and there might be a problem. But the perfect will of God is when he says no, you just go, okay, I thought that was right. You know what God says? That's what you get for thinking. He said, let me do the thinking. Because remember, this knowledge right here is not the knowledge of man. It's the knowledge of God. So we see this in Esther's life. She's using, sure, in the story, she's using regular knowledge. But don't you think one thing's for sure? If she's given to us, just like Abram, just like Abraham, just like Ruth, they were guided by God. Because if their life didn't turn out that way, God couldn't wrote it in the Bible so that me and you can go down the right path. So that me and you could do the right thing. When something happens in your life, you have adversity in your life and you have something going on, you say, well, that happened to Ruth. Well, that happened to Esther. And you see what they did to overcome it. Because here's Esther. She comes and makes that petition and the king says, sorry. I've wrote what I've wrote. The day you eat thereof, that day you die. I cannot take that back. Because I'm a judge, and I'm a righteous judge. And I judge sin. And you sinned in Genesis 3. And we were born in sin, shaping iniquity. Nothing we can do about that. You cannot reverse your first birth. Remember what Nicodemus? Nicodemus was like, well, do I need to reverse my first birth? Jesus said, mm-mm. That's the one that's killing you. Right. You need to be born from above. Right. In other words, you need to have a way out. Right. So where's the way out? Jesus said, I am the way, amen, the truth, amen, and the life. The king had to come on the scene, and the king couldn't change his word. Right. But he used it to kill the devil, and he used it to save you. Just like we're going to see right here in chapter 8. So let's go to chapter 8 and let's begin right here. Now remember, this is right after Haman was hung on the gallows that he had made. Listen, Satan's going to be hung by his own word. By your words you shall be justified. By your words you shall be condemned. All right, chapter 8. Here we are in chapter 8. Does 8 have any? Okay. We don't see the devil after chapter 8 or after chapter 7. Because when you're in eternity, the devil's not there. Remember, and get this, that's why you don't see the devil. He's not eternal. And he can't become eternal. Because he's already made his choice and he's already shut himself off because of iniquity. I was telling him, we were talking about downstairs. You know, Satan was made perfect. God can't make anything imperfect. He can't make the devil be evil. But the devil in his own choosing chose to be that way. He wanted a what? A higher place. And listen, That's what Haman wanted. Haman just didn't want to get rid of Mordecai, people. This is, I mean, that's the story. Haman just didn't want to get rid of Mordecai, but Mordecai was the one standing in his way so he could sit on that throne. Or be the total right-hand man. That's why he had to get rid of Mordecai. But we see that he didn't. So chapter 8, let's begin reading right here. On that day did the king of Sorus give the house of Haman, the Jew's enemy, unto Esther the queen. Now what does the Bible tell us? We're heirs and joint heirs. We are priests and kings. Remember, there is a quote, Brother Dale was this morning, you have to be careful. There is quotes where Brother Branham would say something, and you go, man. And then he'd make another quote, because Brother Branham would say, Satan is the heir of the earth. Well, he's really not. He's a squatter, because Brother Branham comes over and he says, no, he's a squatter. He's just there squatting on your land. So he's a squatter. So what has he done? The king gives everything, because remember, where are we going to rule and reign? And what are we going to rule and reign over? This earth is ours. It was Adam's to begin with. Remember, God said, I'll take care of the heaven, you take care of the earth, Adam. Well, the second Adam come back to give us control. And to give us back our possession. But he's got to save this earth first. Then when this earth gets saved, it'll go right straight over, like we were talking about this morning. We'll just step over. It'll just be like that cicada. You'll look one day and you'll say, man, I'm new. Abraham woke up one morning and he said, where'd that old guy go? There was a question this morning whether that would be a gradual process. I don't believe so. The Bible says we'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, you get something in your eye, you really don't miss a lot. But by that time you do that, then boom, everybody's changed. And that's the way God is. But he turns around and gives everything that Haman had to Esther the queen. Now he didn't give it to Mordecai. Because Mordecai's got a position. If Mordecai's our little man, our prophet of the hour, okay? God can't give all the promises to one man. It's his bride first. Now we know, brother, listen, we know Brother Branham's part of the bride. So he gets it too, but he's not, but God just didn't say, all right, I'm giving it all to William Branham, and then he's nowhere to be seen because he's gone off the scene. And here we are with nothing. Oh, that's not the way God works. That's not the way any story in the Bible begins or ends, with giving it to one man. He's giving it to, what? Yeah, he's giving it to Esther, but Esther types the bride. He's giving it to John on the Isle of Patmos. Who does John type? The entire bride. Me and you. When I say bride, you should say me. So he gave all the possessions of Haman to Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. Amen? So we got to put this little man back in here, because he's the one that's, he's a little bit smarter than Esther. Okay, at the time. Because he's out here. Esther's in the court. He's out here watching the world. Prophet. Prophet, prophetic. He hears all these different things that's going on. He hears the two men. He just happens to be in the right place when the two murderers are getting ready to... No. He's in a position like Brother Branham was standing. He said, okay, I'm going to send my prophet across the curtain of time. Brother Branham goes across the curtain of time. He comes back and tells who? Us. What to look for. All the different things in his life. He's telling as an example, never pointing his finger to himself, but to a bride. And that's Mordecai's commission. Mordecai didn't walk up and say, now, king, wait a minute. You give Esther all that house of Haman, and I'm the one that told you to. He's not that way. That's not the character of that man. That wasn't the character of William Mann Branham either. But watch. The king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he didn't give it to Esther. He gave it to Mordecai. Why did he give it to Mordecai? Mordecai was the one that had, like I said before, had the knowledge of the prophecy. He was outside. He was watching everything that was going on. So the king, you say, what is that, Brother Wade? Brother Branham came to adoption before anybody else did. Because that's your signet, right?
Right?
We know Esther had power with the king because she went into him. I mean, she was part of the, in the bed. You understand what I mean? The secret things were told to Esther. But the secret things of the outside world. Brother Branham would go somewhere and he would come back and tell us these different things that were going on in the world. He's telling us, he told us 50 years ago what's happening now pretty much, okay? So that's what Mordecai is. So he gave the rings. In other words, he gave the authority to Brother Branham to tell us what to do. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. And Esther spake yet again before the king. Now remember, she'd already talked to him one time about reversing this thing. He said, I can't reverse it. But watch what she does. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet. And besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. How many of you know what the characteristic of having the baptism of the Holy Ghost is? Brother Brown said, you cry and sigh. You go to the king and make a petition because listen, the only way believe this. The only way somebody's going to get the new birth is if you tell them about it.
Right.
Not some radio program.
Right.
You. Life comes through the body of Christ.
Amen.
That makes you important.
Right.
You know why? Because God chose you to do that.
Amen.
You didn't choose yourself. God chose you to do that.
Amen.
The king set you in place.
Yes. Right.
And nobody can take your place.
Right.
Oh, thrills my heart when you see that. She besought with tears to save my... How many of us do that? There's a wall right here below me full of names. Some of them has come. Some of them have not. Right here, people. We wanted it right here. Well, it was right underneath this pulpit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go in my Sunday school class and look at this wall. Of people, your friends, your family, your husbands, your wife, your children, your neighbors.
Right.
We put their names and some of them the pictures up so that we know personally who they are. That's what Esther was doing. Esther was saying, King, these people are going to die. My people are going to die if you don't do something. He says, I can't change my word. But watch what happens. So the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. Why? He couldn't do anything. He ain't going to kill her. He loves her. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it pleases the king. Now watch this. This is Esther. And I have found favor in his sight. And the thing seems right before the king. And I be pleasing in his eyes. Let it be written to reverse the letter devised by Haman, the son of all that, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? In other words, like I said before, sigh and cry. Sigh and cry. We need to sigh and cry for our people. It's getting late. How many of you went into the king and said, King, I need to talk to you for a minute. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Now watch this. Then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, Behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged on the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name. You write it. You write it. I'll back it up. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Listen, there was no body change. Sure, it was laying all in the scripture. It was laying in the word of God. But no one was able to preach it until Mordecai comes on the scene. Until our little prophet that comes in and broke them seals open. I don't understand how in the heavenly days, I was thinking about this the other day, how in the world were we going to know what those seals were, what the trumpets were, what the vials were, what the all the different ones, all the thunders and all. We need somebody else to come if Brother Brown's not the one.
Right.
And he needs to come in a hurry.
Yeah. Right.
But we don't believe that. You know that. We believe he's already come. Our Mordecai's already come, wrote us 1,100 and something letters, put them in all different languages, sent them all over the world, yeah, and put the king's seal on it. Because when the seals were broke, that was a king's seal. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writings which is written in the king's name, in other words, look, this book killed you. Sealed with seven seals. Remember, they were scrolled, rolled up. Sealed. This thing kills you. But what happened in 1963? The seals were broke. And the true letter. Not that the other ones were false. All they knew is what they knew. But remember, Brother Ram said there wasn't light shining on this yet. The light that was shining on this came with a king seal. I can't change this. But I can write it in there in secret. I can put that love letter in there where you can finally, after Mordecai comes and gives you a little knowledge, and by the Holy Ghost that we have now, guess what? I'm going to give you a way to defend yourself. I can't reverse what I said. Because listen, he can't so reverse himself. Even in the millennium. Because people go, it's got to be 1,000 years. And then after that, all the sinners are going to die. You see what I'm saying? So this thing continues on, but not for us, not for Esther, not for Mordecai. Because there's something coming. There's something that's been written. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month. How about that? That is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that Mordecai preached to the Jews. Hey, the king's not writing this at the time. He's writing it in his stead. Because remember, he's got the authority. Mordecai's a Jew. In other words, Mordecai's a Christian. Esther's a Christian. He knows how they act. He knows what they need. So what did he do? And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews. Now look, he can't reverse what the king said. He can't write a new Bible. But he can take what's already written in this Bible and help you defend yourself. Was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, was from India to Ethiopia. Look that up on the map. 127 provinces under every province according to the writing thereof and to other people. Had to write it in different languages. We had to get this message out in different languages. And to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent messages all over the world by mules, camels, dromedaries, tape players, MP3. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to congregate together. where the carcass is, there where the eagles will be gathered. Wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand. That's what you're doing today, brothers and sisters. You're standing for your life. I like what Brother Willie Ross used to say. He says, I rest my soul on Malachi 4. But not just the person, Malachi 4, not the Mordecai. It's what he wrote, remember. And the power that was behind it. Because remember, Brother Brown can't change the Bible. But when he took that seal and put it on them 1,100 something sermons and we get a revelation that that's how we're supposed to get it, it don't change the Bible. But it sure helps us defend ourselves. Hallelujah. Every day you do that. You defend yourself by the Word of God. The devil says, I got you. You go, no, you don't. No. Because you know what? I had a Mordecai come and tell me. He didn't have to tell me. It was already written in the Bible. Then in the moment of twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. But you know what he done? He lined it up. Trump shall sound. Dead in Christ shall rise first. We shall be changed. And then we all going to get out of here. And we're going to leave Haman behind. And we're going to let him just do his business down here. You think he's running now? You wait till we get out of here. Wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life. Watch this. I like what Brother Ernie says. Brother Ernie says, hack them. Whack them. If you don't have teeth, gum the devil to death. Because look what, look. Jesus told us the kingdom of heaven is taken by, a feather. No, force. Cut. Hack. What'd he tell them? Wherein the king granted the Jews to just say, no, don't do that. No. Stand for your life. Destroy. To slay. Cause to perish. Do you know what he's calling? He's calling down judgment on his own people. The king is going to send this army anyway. Remember the angels? He sends the angels out. Got scripture for all this, folks. He sends the angels out, the reapers, and he tells them to cut everything down, but separate the wheat from the tares. What's he doing right here? Stand for your life. To destroy, to slay, to cause to perish. All the power of the people and the prominence that would assault them. Both little ones and women. And to take the spoil. Listen, not only just to defend yourself. That's good. But you know what he's telling? He's saying, look, take all the spoil with you. Take all the spoil with you for a prey upon one day in all the provinces of King Assyrus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. Now remember, just to jump forward, that's called the day of Purim, P-U-R-I-M. And they still celebrate it. Every year they celebrate what happened because they would have been wiped out. Don't worry about Egypt and all them different people. Haman was going to wipe them people off the face of the earth. Same way was Hitler. I told you, when Haman died, that spirit just went over into another somebody. And we saw that manifest right here in the 40s when Hitler was getting ready to destroy the Jews. Amen? But thank God, even with that, God put in the Bible a fifth sealed Jew. That's going to be given eternal life just because they're Jews. Upon one day in all the province of King Assyrus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, the copy of the writings for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves. He told them the very day he was coming. Hello, somebody. I'm coming today. Defend yourself. Today we call that Monday. And the congregation says,
amen.
The ones that are retired never didn't say anything. Every day's a Saturday to them. But us on Monday. Right, Brother Gary? Us on Monday, that's our trial and tribulation day. We feel good. It's good to be a Christian on Sunday, but Monday, fight that thing. But we had it published, folks. We had it written in our language to tell us that not just one day for us, but the day of the Lord. We are now in. When you got born again, you entered in the day of the Lord. Not one 24-hour day. You entered into the day of the Lord. So that the post, oh, wait a minute, that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves from their enemies. You know what? If you got a problem, open up the book. Read where you win. And then listen to a couple of sermons where Brother Branham preaches on the rapture and the change and Abraham and like we've been talking about. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan the palace. Where'd it go to? You can call me a mule if you want to. I don't care. But a fivefold ministry carries this message. You can call me a camel. I really don't care. There's other things besides a donkey people call me, but that's okay. I really don't mind. But this is the way you're going to get it. This is the way you're going to get what this commandment is. It's, listen, they didn't have email, text messages. They had human flesh that physically went out and said, you need to tell your people that June, whatever it is that day, you're going to have a fight. You got to be ready, though. Now, Brother Ray's ready, but what about some of us, the rest of us? Are we ready for the day of the battle? Are we ready, or are we just going, I really don't think that's going to happen. You think that's going to happen? Oh, you ain't go to church. You go to church? Huh. You read your Bible? You listen to that little short man? Why you have to do that? Why, they ain't nothing to it. No, they took it serious. Because it came with some authority. It came from the king's commandment. It was a seal. Thank God for that seal. And then he opened it up. Because look, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in what? Royal apparel of blue. Wow. What did the angel tell Brother Branham? Said, you'll be gathered with your people. You were an important person on earth. Remember? He's got a crown laid up bigger than ours. And you know what? God did it. Not some personal something. God did it. God showed him. What about, I was thinking the other day, what about Brother Branham? You know, he never really preached on Esther. He never took Esther as a text. But he spoke of Esther a few times. But what about him reading that? I believe he stayed away from that for a reason. That's just me. That's just a me quote. I think he stayed away from the book of Esther because he knew that Mordecai was him. So he stayed away from it. You look up Esther. He only speaks of Esther 6 or 8 times, and it's scattered all over the... There's no sermon of Esther chapter 1. And he really never says anything much about Mordecai. But when, if you see a prophet reading the Bible, and you see him read that book of Esther, and he goes, little man. Little man. What's he do? Oh, he's got a king's signature. He's got a ring. He's got a position. That's just me. That's just me. That's just what I think. All right, look at verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, in blue and white with great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. You and I should be the same way. Because we have a chance through this little man with what? The commission of God. To tell us, Esther, to tell us, Esther's people, how to defend ourselves. To me, that's the greatest chapter showing we see adoption. We see a way to defend ourselves. We see that, look, in every province, in every city, wheresoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast, and a good day. Hey, wait a minute. Whoa. No. We still got a battle. But we know what day it is now. We know who's coming. And we got something to defend ourselves with. And many of the people of the land, look at this. And many of the people of the land, there's your foolish virgin. Many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. You know, if you knew that you were going to make it, you go, we're brothers. Tell me how to act. Because I'm a heathen. And you're a Christian. Tell me how to act so they won't kill me. Right? That's when people want to get around you. You want to be salty. There's a Christian that's salty and it brings people in. Because you know what? They're going to die. Physically and spiritually, this world is going to die. And without me and you, there's going to be a lot of them. But God's give us something to defend ourselves with. Amen? He's give us something to defend ourselves with. Let's continue a few more minutes and we'll be done. Chapter 9. Now what happens is, now in the 12th month, now we're getting to the time now that the thing's going to happen. We're getting to the end time. We're at the end time. We are at the end time. They're getting toward the end time. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, and the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to put in execution. Now remember, the day you eat thereof, the day you die, still right here. You're going to die. There's going to be a battle, and without something, you're going to die. Because I have decreed that the day you eat thereof, the day you die. So he's not reversing anything. When the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them. Though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. Look, the Jews gathered themselves together on Sunday and Wednesday. They knew where to go. They didn't just stay out in the field. They didn't go play golf on Sunday. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities. They knew where to go. You and I know where to go. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Assyrus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. Watch this right here. And no man could withstand them. No weapon formed can stand against me. Now that's still written in here. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. Now here's Haman trying. He was going to gather this big group, this big bunch of demons. And we're going after that bride. We're going to take her over. We're going to kill her, every one of them. Look how God turns it around. If you're going to be a priest and a king, you're going to have something to rule over. And it's not with a rod of iron. It's with nail-scarred hands like Jesus. For the fear of them fell upon all people. Don't you know? When we come to the white throne judgment, are you going to be afraid of anything? Nope. Because you don't have to go. You're not standing out there. You're standing as the judge. And who's going to be fear? Who's going to have the fear? Those people that walk up in front of you are going to look at you and go, oh my, I did that to that person. And if they're any kind of a halfway Christian, all they got to do is read the Bible that says, if you do that to the least of my little ones, you've done it unto me. And that's the same way here. The Jews said, we're Jews. We can defend ourselves. But God even gave us so much power that the fear of them fell upon all people. And all the rulers of the province and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews. They got converted. Hallelujah. They helped the Jews. Now, wait a minute. They're supposed to help the Medes and Persians, that great big army. Mm-mm. Not if you get converted, you won't. Because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's house. And his fame went out through all the provinces. For this man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. Now, I've written in my Bible a long time ago when I first studied this. It wasn't that Mordecai grew greater and greater. It was what he said. Because he's a little short guy. Like Brother Bram said, you know that 150-pound guy that puts his hand up like this and stops a 12-ton tractor trailer coming down the road? It's not the power of the man. It's the power behind the man. So it was the power behind Mordecai that helped him wax greater and greater. Because you got to remember, Mordecai in this whole story, he never walks out like Haman and says, I'm the number one guy. I'm the number one guy. Brother Bram never said. He said, I'm the least. That's why God chose that man above everybody. He had the character that he needed to teach us something. Thus the Jews just slapped all their little enemies and just said, oh, shoe devil, go on. No, they smote them all. With the stroke of the sword. What's the sword? The word. They smote them with the stroke of the what? The power that lays in this word. And slaughter and destruction. And did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. Right there in the palace. And all those words I cannot pronounce, just keep rolling it on up. Don't even want to talk about them people. That's all the different places. Now look. Even the 10 sons of Haman, he still had some preachers out there. We forgot about that for a minute, didn't we? Haman had 10 sons. And you know what? The sons like the daddy. So he had 10 lying preachers out there, like we had preached before. And because remember, there was 12 spies went across the land. Two of them brought a good report. 10 of them lied. 10 lying preachers. So the 10 lying preachers of Haman, guess what happened to them? They slew them. But on the spoil laid they not their hands. In other words, they left that part alone. On that day, the number that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in the palace and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now, what is our petition? Now, what? Every other time when she asked for something, he said, whatever you want up to half the kingdom. Right? Three times. Said, what do you want up to half the kingdom? Now, watch this. Esther comes to a position that it's not half anymore. This is where you can bring in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In Revelation 19, because he has given her total power now. He's not limiting her. He says, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. If she'd have said, I want every one of your provinces and all your gold, he would have said, here. Now, he didn't say that before. Why? Because you need to learn trust. With God, he knows who to trust and who not, but you need to learn trust. But in here, the king was going, well, I'm not stupid. I'm going to just give her half if she asks for it. But now watch. He's come to a place to know what she wants, and he's going to grant her anything she asks. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he meant what he said. Now, we know that's further work, but it wasn't him, right? It was the bride was the future work. Watch. Now, watch. Then said Esther, if it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are in the palace to do tomorrow also according to this day's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged in the gallows. God's not going to put up with that. False doctrine. And the king commanded it to be so done. And the decree was given in the palace, and they hang Haman's 10 sons. For the Jews that were in the palace gathered themselves together on the 14th day of the month of Adar and slew 300 men. We already know that. But to pray they laid not their hand. But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together, stood for their lives, had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000 people. And remember, we've got 200,000 of them we got to destroy. Remember the demons that were loosed in the river Euphrates? Remember that's loosed on the bride? But we will overcome. On the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested day. And made it a day of feasting and gladness. Now look, let's go down, skip down to verse to number 19. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month of Adar a day of gladness and feasting, a good day, and of sending portions one to another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Assuerus, both nigh and far. To what? To establish this message. To establish this message in the different provinces all across the country. To establish this, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly, as the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemy. Our day of Purim, people, is when we receive the new birth. That's our Jesus said, come to me all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's the day we destroyed the devil in the soul. Now we've got a process to keep going. But look, and the Jews undertook to do as they had begun and as Mordecai had written to them. Mordecai. And they cast Pur, which is a lot, to consume them. That's why they call it the day of Purim. Now look at verse 25. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hung on the gallows. He's talking about Haman. Wherefore they call those days Purim, after the day of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, that's which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them, the Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed. It's still going on today. And upon all such as joined themselves unto them, so that they should not fail, that they would keep these 2 days according to their writings and according to their appointed time every year. And that these days should be remembered. It's so important. See, we get to do it on Sunday and Wednesday, and when we match play, when we read the Bible, when we read the message. We've got a continual feast day. That's why we're going to talk about these feast days, because they're very important to us. Without the feast days, you don't get born again. You don't go in a rapture. So that's pretty important. You know? And that these days of Purim should not fail among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Now watch this. I like this right here. I wrote in the Bible right here, I wrote, where is the king? You hadn't heard from him in a while. Where's the king? I thought he's the one that had all the authority. But I thought he's the one that transferred all the authority. Because watch this. Then Esther the queen, we'll be finished right here. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abigail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. And he sent letters unto all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Assyrus, with words of peace and truth. Watch this. To confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them. Now, you're not hearing anything about the king. In other words, he's running the universe. And Mordecai and Esther is now running the show. Amen? But remember, he didn't do that at the beginning. This is at the end of the journey. This is at the end of your journey. Remember, she's not a bride anymore. She's a wife. Amen. Amen. And we've got Mordecai there, where Mordecai's message is becoming more real. How many times you go through the day and something happens and you think of what Brother Brown said? It ain't many days go by that I don't, little something will happen. It doesn't matter if it's in your life or anything. You'll hear that Mordecai say something that pertains to or affects what you're doing. Right? And that's not bad. That's good. That God brings to your remembrance what he has said. To confirm these days of Purim and in their times appointed, according to Mordecai the Jew, and Esther the queen had enjoined them as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed. The matters of the fasting and the cry and the decree of Esther. Not Mordecai. Not the king. Esther. Esther has become, listen, at the first of this act or play, she wasn't so very important. She was a little poor girl, didn't have a mom and daddy, and was raised by her uncle. Look what she's risen to. When you and I start our journey, we're nothing. But to God, he knows that. That's why I love this journey of a believer. It takes everybody, even Ruth. Look at Ruth. Ruth was nobody. She was a Moabite. Nobody knew who she was. Now, she's the most important person in the world at the end of the program. The mama goes off the scene, or the mother-in-law goes, off the scene, and then here she goes and gets with Boaz, and then they have a baby, and then mama steps back on the scene. Well, she has to, because that's the Jews coming back. Watch this. And the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. Esther verse chapter 10, this is the end of it right here. What's this? And the king Assyrius laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. That means he put one foot on land and one foot on sea. And all the acts of his power and of his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of the Medes and Persians? This whole world is going to have to proclaim who we are. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Assyrus and great among the Jews and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, not the wealth of himself. Hear that? You see that? He didn't seek wealth of himself. He seek the wealth of his people. Right. Brother Brown says, you're my children. But he didn't espouse us to himself. He espoused us to Christ. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. Exactly right. Seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace Amen. To all his seed. That's why me and you can have peace today. Glory. Is that we've had a message of the hour to tell us, listen, we've got tomorrow's news today. We've got next week's, next month. Well, if we're here another year, we know basically what's going to happen. All because this little man from Kentucky, from obscurity, that had to wear... I was thinking about this the other day. Daddy says he was poor. He had to wear shoes that his brothers gave him and had to tack the end of it shut because it was too they were too big. Isn't that right? Yeah, your brothers. And then here's William Branham, the great prophet, the great Mordecai, to come, not to save us, folks, but he come to give us a way to fight. Give us a way to fight that devil and to fight the things that we have in our life. And he goes swimming, and he's got a pair of overalls that's held on with a nail. One nail. Don't even have enough. He don't have two nails, Brother John, because there's two straps on him. He had one probably hanging down and one nail stuck through that. What a man. What a man. I'll clap myself. What a man. What a Mordecai that he walks up and goes through the town and he said people would walk on the other side of the street because he had a bad name. He had a bad name. Branham was not a good name. All of them were drunks, died with their boots on, basically the cliche, I guess you might say. And here God took that man out of obscurity and gave him a position. When he was over there past the curtain of time, he said, they lifted me up on their shoulders. They did, not him. They did. And they said, you're special down here. But you got to go back. Because you got some more sermons to preach. You've got some more. Mordecai, you got some more work to do. Because I'm going to take you up on a mountain one day, and I'm going to give you the signet. And if anybody hears anything, it's got to come from you. If you're going to take a body change, bride, it's got to come from this message of the hour. Glory. It cannot come from the Bible alone. Amen. You got to have the prophet's message to line that up. Because remember, King wrote it and you die. Because the day you eat thereof, that day you're going to die. Sorry, Josh. The day you eat thereof, the day you're going to die. We have no hope. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, everybody's talking about death. But when you open it up and you see the love letter, how can he kill his bride? How could he kill Esther? Even when she walked in and said, if I die today, I die. Today, I'm going to get something from the King. Can you say that today? Glory. Today, I'm going to get something from the King. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet. But you know that story of Esther? Like the all the commentators tell you, they put that in the Bible. Even though it had made no mention of God. But as Scofield tells us, as we've seen these past few services, it is so interlaced with the Christian journey. And so interlaced with... But see, now look. Let me tell you how this goes further. Dr. Scofield probably looked at this Esther and said, boy, that's the bride. But who's this Mordecai guy? Who's this Mordecai guy? He's inserted. Oh, that's the father that, or the uncle that's helping this Esther. But you and I, you and I know what that character portrayed. We saw him and we heard him with our own ears. And Sister Cleta and some of them had seen him with his own eyes. Sister Marjorie. Frida, you were little though. You sat on his lap? On Brother Brown's lap? Did you really? Well, that's great. You couldn't have been more than 4 or 5. You were 3. Okay. So that means that Frida's 60 years old. So you just told your age. I'm just telling you. But we have all these, we've seen this, but what has it done for us? It's drove a lot of people away, but it's made a lot of people more established in the present day truth. It's made people more established because of listening to that little Mordecai and doing what he said. Because you know what? He's not going to tell you anything different from the king. If it would have been any time that king said, whoa, wait a minute. No, it's just like when Adam was on the earth and he was naming the animals and he named that elephant, that gray thing with the trunk, he named it an elephant. God didn't go, no, I wouldn't have named that. He said, that's exactly what I'd have named that. That's the same way with Brother Branham. When he said he went back into the mind of God, he didn't just stay there. He brought it right out here and we got it in 1,100 sermons. We got it in every province in the nation in their own language. How privileged we are. What a privileged group of people we are. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
Keep on the firing line. 3:15.
Oh my goodness.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. Oh, keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die of fighting, it is no disgrace. Coward in the service.
And we pray with the power of prayer behind it, Lord, that you'll grant what our brother request is, Lord, to keep him safe and all the other things, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Against all evil, never run or even
the Jews didn't run. They stood there and they fought
for God and keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown and bear the cross, you must keep on the firing line.
Hey, you
life
see this?
Is but to labor
you see
for
that?
The master.
Put them together.
Dear. Help to banish evil and to spread good cheer.
Where's Chloe?
Grant you be
where's Chloe?
For your
come on,
service.
Chloe.
Against all evil, never run.
you would win. For God and the righteous keep on the firing line.
If only y'all ever heard Brother Jewel Forney preach about Muhammad Ali, because he really liked Muhammad Ali, because Muhammad Ali was the greatest. But you remember, you see that in your life, you know, it doesn't say to, it says fight, be brave. You remember if you ever watched Muhammad Ali, a lot of times he'd get like this, and he'd hold on for a little while. You know what? Brother Joel said he was going, I'm going to beat you. You gone in about 2 minutes. When I come back here, you gone. Well, you know what? If the devil ever gets you up close like this, whisper that in his ear. Amen. Tell him you're gone. Because when you let me go, I'm going to punch your lights out.
Hey. Yes.
If you would win for God in the right, just keep on. We're in a fight. Defeated their enemy. They didn't put the instruments up. They brought them out. And they had a feast for 2 days. Why? Because they had defeated an enemy that was proclaiming that they don't have a chance. We're so much bigger than they are. We've got a kingdom. From India to Ethiopia, we're just going to wipe you little people off the earth. And the Jews said, well, we do have a right to defend ourselves. And we've been given the provision and the very day that you guys are going to attack. So we're going to be ready. And Brother John, when he gets some days when you do have that head laid over like this, and you go, devil, when I get up, when I get up, you're a goner. When you get up in the morning and you put your feet on the floor, all hell's against you, but there's provision been made. We're not fighting with feathers. We're fighting with swords. And we win. Whatever happens, Brother Danny, doesn't matter. We win.
That's right.
We've already won if we're born again.
Amen.
But we're going to really win when we walk in one day and the redeemed walk through those gates and the angels have to stop because they can't join in. They've never been redeemed. But you and I came from a life of sin.
Right.
And by God calling you and you accepting the call. It's like Brother Dale's preaching that you got to remember just for a minute here. We're going to go outside and talk till 5 o'clock anyway or longer. God is calling you. How's he calling you? Through a preacher. Through you reading the Bible. Through the message of the hour. That's where he's calling you. And then all of a sudden one day, you say, well, I've been seeking God. No, it's him. What happened? The switch was he spoke to you first. You say, I didn't hear God. Listen, what convicted you? Somebody bringing something to you that brought conviction to you. Well, that wasn't Brother Dale or Brother Wade. That was God.
Right.
Because God knew what you would need. Because how many hundreds of times have you listened to other places, other sermons, other people, but all of a sudden you go, talking to me? Right? You remember that. You better all remember that. That there was one day when something caught your voice. Now after that, you sought God and you, why? Because you felt lost. Listen, you gotta be found lost before you can be found. You gotta be found lost. You gotta say, I'm lost. I'm lost. And then God speaks to you. So it's God calling you the whole time. It don't matter how many sermons you hear. There's one sermon in this scripture, in this one scripture in this Bible, that's the sermon that's going to click in your heart. See, mine wasn't Genesis 1:26 because I didn't have anything, I didn't have a clue about Genesis 1:26 when I was a sinner. But once I become a Christian, but the other scriptures in the Bible I knew I was condemned by. But when I come to that Genesis 1, it was after I got born again and God started unfolding and he said, that's you. That's when I made you. Now remember, we didn't have a beginning, but that was when we were what? Put on display. That's when we were put on display. And God said, there's my bride. There's my Adam and there's my Eve. I'm going to have a family now. All these ministers, God bless you. You do the work of the Lord. It doesn't matter if people fall asleep on you, Bob. I'm getting to that. Somewhere, you're just preaching to one person. But God didn't put you up here to preach to nobody. He gave you a job to preach to one person. Maybe one person will get what you said, the rest won't. But then the next sermon, how many of you heard me? The next sermon, the next preacher comes in. And the preacher preaches something, and you get a blessing from it. But see, that's the way God works. That's our King. He knows what we need. He puts you in the service to get it. Predestination. But he knew you would want it. And he got it for you. He put it in a book that'll kill you. What a paradox. He put it in a book full of judgment. But he gave you, see, all we see now as Christians, all we see is life. Every scripture we read, we see life. Even when you look at the judgment, I've already been judged. I don't have to be judged again. I've already been judged. I was chosen in him. And he was judged. If he's judged perfect, I'm perfect. That's what we gotta say. I look at him. If the devil looks at me, I go, that man died for me, Jesus. Go talk to him. If you got a problem with me, go talk to him because I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Brother Boyd, you want to come in just for a second? He's got something he wants to propose to the people. And I agree 100% because it affects all of us.
The Lord's laid upon my heart that I would like maybe next weekend after the trip of everybody, because we're going to be resting, right?
Yeah.
To come back in and reset everything. In other words, what I'm saying, I told my Sunday school class, I said, I haven't heard anybody calling out for God during this pandemic like right. You'd think people would.
Right.
But my prayer, what I want to do is invite anybody who wants to come in next Sunday afternoon about 1:30 and pray over the pews and everything in here about the sleepy spirit. Yeah. Now, I'm guilty, stand guilty of that subject myself, but the burden's on my heart to pray about that and get it out of here. Let's reset everything. We've got the preaching how to get out of here, and I'm ready to go.
Amen.
And, you know, Sterling and I are at the racetrack sometimes Saturday night to 3 and 4:30 in the morning and come in here on Sunday, and I'm guilty of being sleepy too, but I want to get that spirit out of here.
Amen.
And I just pray, if you want to come up, we'll just come up here maybe at 1:30, and we'll stop when it starts at 1:40. And to stand at a pew, I hope we don't have enough room for everybody to stay and pray over it. But let's get the sleepy spirit out of here. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He brought me that last week, and it's a concern with all of us, and it is a spirit. I mean, man, come on, who has slept when it's fourth quarter and your team's down by one touchdown and they're on the 10-yard line going in? No. You're sitting on the edge of your seat. This message, we should be sitting on the edge of our seat. Just for a little, you know what? Sleep at home, that's okay. But right here. And Brother Boyd brought that concern, and we'll come up here at 1:30 next Sunday, right before they turn the tape on. And I knew it would be okay with you. I knew that. So he approached me last week, and I'd forgot about it until just a few minutes ago. Thank you, Lord, for showing me my ignorance in front of everybody that I can't remember like I used to. But he said, why don't we pray? We pray for the pews, for everything else, for anointing. We pray for all these different things that we do. Let's just walk down through here at 1:30 and just pray that sleepy spirit will leave this building. And then it won't come back.
Right.
We don't want it to come back. We want it to leave this building. You know what? We have the authority.
Amen.
We have the power in the name of Jesus. We have the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan defeated, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Let's sing it again as you're dismissed. Remember the sisters, middle room, the brothers in my Sunday school class just for a little while to discuss this Father's Day fishing trip coming up.